Learn about the mitzvah of challah, of Rosh Hashanah. Reishis arisoy seichem challah terimu. The first of your dough, you shall separate, and you shall give it to the kohen. Chazal say, many more Chazal. Chazal say that when you separating the dough brings bracha to your bread. Now let's explain. Take one step back. Before you give challah to the kohen, you already have given him truma. When the farmer goes into harvests his grain, the halach is he has to give 1/50th of the crop to the kohen. I mean, that's a mashur beinoni, you can give whatever you want, but the average amount that a person gives to the kohen is 1/50th of his crop is given as a gift to the kohen. Chazal say, based on various psukim, I don't have the sources, that by giving the kohen his entitlement, it is a, I don't want to say the word skula, that's not a nice word, Hashem guarantees a blessing in the grain. The grain will be blessed. Now you'll say, once I have the grain already, I don't need Hashem's blessing, I'm already done. That's not, we all know that's not true. Just because you have money in the bank, you want to make sure you have FDIC to make sure the money is guaranteed, right? And just because you have FDIC, you want to make sure the government doesn't collapse. So just because you have grain doesn't mean anything. It means you still need plenty of siyata deshmaya, that the grain that you have in your silo should remain blessed. You shouldn't have any termites or some type of...
The person doesn't get blessed?
The person? No, that is not the person. It's not, I mean, the person's indirectly. There are other blessings for the person. The Torah is full of blessings. But here a person wants that his grain should be blessed. Just because a person brings into his silo grain and everything looks fine and good, there's no guarantee that he'll have nachas from the grain. He'll have benefit. Everything needs, every step of the way in life needs siyata deshmaya. And by giving the kohen his entitlement, by giving him truma 1/50th, this is a source of blessing for the owner, for the farmer, that Hashem will send blessing to the grain. Okay, very good. Then he gives Ma'aser Rishon, that also he has to give. Then he takes the grain, his grain, and he brings it home, and he begins to begin the process of making bread by grinding it. You know, you have to separate the chaff from the kernel and take the kernel. You have to go through, crush it and sift it and knead it, v'chulu, until now you have in your possession, you have dough. The Torah now says, you know, you're about to take this dough and put it into the oven to produce bread. Who says the bread will be a blessing? Maybe the bread is just going to raise your cholesterol. Is just going to give you heartburn. Maybe the bread is going to be moldy. Who says the bread will be a blessing? You need another blessing. And the other blessing is hafrosh haschala. By separating a small amount of the dough and giving it to the kohen, this will inject bracha into the lechem. A person needs bracha every step of the way. The truma is a bracha for the grain, and in the next stage of the grain's use, of where the grain now is going to be fashioned into bread, there's an additional bracha that comes by hafrashas challah. Okay, now let's discuss some of the dilemmas, the halachic dilemmas regarding hafrashas challah. First dilemma, which is very much nogei halacha lemaisa, is what is the shiur of flour that requires a person to make a bracha, even to be mafresh challah, even to do the action of separating the challah. And then there's another level, not only do you separate the challah, but before you separate the challah, you make a bracha. What
the
is...
The challah separate or the dough?
The dough, you have dough, you only separate the dough, you have dough, you have the dough in
but
front of
the,
you.
Not the flour itself?
No, not the flour.
But it has to be made into dough first.
Yes, you take the flour and the water, and some other ingredients, and you make a dough, and now after the dough has been made, now comes time to take a small amount. It's a small amount. We'll talk about how much she takes.
Can a goy do that, or it has to be a Jew?
A Jew. Only a Jew can do that.
A goy can't be a
Jew. No, a goy cannot do that. You're touching upon one of the biggest, the biggest problem that every bakery has. The biggest problem, you ask any bakery that they have in their business, is hafroshas challah.
They make,
oven they keep on, they have a pile of light where they keep the oven on the entire time. The biggest problem is, because when do they do the baking? They do the baking in the middle of the night. Every single bakery, this is an industry standard. For some reason, all the baking has to take place in the middle of the night, and it's not so easy to get a Jew there 3 o'clock in the morning, every single night, or every other night, to do the hafroshas challah. This is a very, very big problem in the kashrus industry. And we once spoke about this, and some bakeries rely upon extreme leniencies that are utterly shocking when you find out what's going on regarding hafroshas challah.
You have some bakeries, there's a bakery in West Hempstead, a bagel store that's open on Shabbos, and it has hashgacha.
Bagel bar?
So how could they do that? So
you're asking a question. I know somebody who stops by from shul in the morning. Before he gets to shul in the morning, he walks into the bakery to see what's going. He was telling me.
But
I said, I don't get it.
You're not allowed to be mafresh on Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't be mafresh.
So, no, I understand. Yeah. But he never told me that he was mafresh, but they're baking there.
So obviously, they must have the dough. The dough must have been frozen. And they took the mafresh challah from Friday. There's no other way they can possibly do it with other, because you're not going to be mafresh on Shabbos. If you don't separate challah, it's a very serious transgression. If you don't separate challah from dough, and you just make dough, and you make bread, and you eat the bread without being mafresh challah, it's tevel. There's a chiv misa b'dei shamayim. Eating tevel involves the penalty of misa b'dei shamayim. Now today, hafresh... What?
That's serious stuff.
It sure is. Now today, it's not a deraisa. There is no, it's only midrabanan. There's no chiyuv misa deshmaim today, because it's the obligation to be mafresh challah today is only rabbinical. It is not biblical. You need two conditions. Number one, you have to be living in Eretz Yisrael. So in chutz li'aretz anyway, it's only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan. And even in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have the majority of the Jewish people must be living in Eretz Yisrael. So today, there are people that will tell you that the majority of Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not so simple. I don't remember all the details, the complications. First of all, it's not so simple that it's true, that the majority of the Jewish people are living. Today they say the population of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael is approximately 7 million. No one really knows a real exact number. They have a census.
The world is about 15, they say.
Right, so it's about half. So we're at a tipping point. Many people will argue today we're at a tipping point where the majority of the Jewish people are now living in Eretz Yisrael. Is that true? Is it not true? I don't know. I don't think anyone is able to really make
halachic Jews, it's hard to tell.
So what's called a Jew? How do you define the Jew? Do you define the Jew to be a person that is semi-religious, has a sensitivity? Does he need to be Shomer Shabbos? Does he need to identify as a Jew? And even if we do have the majority of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael, there are opinions that say that once the Churban, the Beis Hamikdash, was destroyed, it cannot be reinstated unless we have real Truma. You have to have a Beis Hamikdash. It's very, very complicated. I don't know the details. But generally speaking, it is accepted as a matter of fact that the Hafrosh HaSchala today is only Midrabanan. It is not biblical, not Midraisa. So therefore, that definitely lessens the severity of if a challah has not been separated, then there's no violation of a biblical violation, it's only a rabbinic violation. Okay, now first, that's a very important, but it's a very serious matter. Being that if it was deraisa, there would be a chi of misa b'dei shamayim, no one's looking to play around by forgetting to be mafresh challah on any batch of dough that is made. Now, here's the question, what is the shiur of challah upon which a person is chayiv to be mafresh challah?
So, 2 kilos.
So first of all, what is the basic shear? The basic shear is an asiris ho'efa. Torah says, arisoy seichem, this is the Gemara Masechta Erev in Daf Pei Gimel, arisoy seichem, kidei isoy seichem. So I'm quoting from the Gemara. The kama isoy seichem. How much is your dough? Kidei isas hamidbar. The same amount of dough people had in the desert, specifically the man. How much man did a person get every single day? The kama isas hamidbar. Asiris ho'efa. it is a tenth of an epha. Okay, and that is the shear, the biblical shear of dough. That's the amount of mon, that is the portion of mon each person received every single day. And that measure is the measure which we learn from this pasuk of Reishis Arisoy Seichem. It has to be called Arisoy Seichem, which the Gemara understands to be that it's the equivalent to the equivalent to the amount of mon a person received every single day. And how much the pasuk explicitly tells us that the shiur of mon a person received daily was asiris ha'efa, 1/10 of an efa. Now, I'm not the person to ask regarding what is the exact measure, but most people don't know. Most people don't have this calculation either to figure out how all this works. So we're going to skip all that stuff. We're just going to go to the Rambam. We're just going to skip all the details of how we go, what exactly is an efa, what is the measure, and we go to the Rambam. The Rambam concludes that there are two ways to measure an efa. This is the famous Rambam, and this Rambam is the source of enormous controversy that's been going on for about 800, 900 years. And the Rambam says, the Torah says the shiur of challah is kedei. The Gemara says, arisoy say, your dough. Reishis arisoy seichem, meaning the Gemara again says, arisoy seichem kedei I soy seichem. In other words, your dough and the kama isoy seichem kidei isas midbar the kama isas midbar asiris ha'efa. Those are the words of the Gemara in Erev Daf Pei Gimel. Rambam writes there are two ways to make the calculation. He made the calculation for us. We're not going to go through all the math because I have no idea what all this means. But he comes out lemaskana. There are two techniques, and to make it simple and short and sweet, he says the following. Either calculate the measure, the volume of 43 1/5 eggs. You go to Avenue M and you go to any store you want, you go to Mountain Fruit and buy, go to the counter. I would like please to purchase 43 1/5 eggs.
Small or jumbo?
Small, medium, large, extra large, jumbo. I just told you five sizes, and probably even more. Every company has their own.
Doesn't come small. Let's see.
No more small. No more small. Not in the stores. In commercial, you get small. In the stores, no one wants to buy small. They give more money. So in the stores, they don't sell small. But commercially, you go to the factories where they make things. They sell them small. Okay, so there are different sizes. There are many, many sizes, and there are many companies that manufacture eggs. Where do eggs come from, by the way? They come from a factory, a laboratory? Whoever heard, I never heard of this thing called a chicken. What's that? Whatever it is, but they manufacture eggs. And eggs come in many shapes and sizes. Okay? And the Rambam says, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us the companies. He just tells us 43 1/5 of an egg is equal exactly to the shiur, of asiris ho'efa. So take those eggs and put them in, I guess displace it with liquid, displace liquid, fill up a tub and displace the liquid, and you'll come to achieve a volume. And that volume is the amount of flour that requires a person to do the mitzvah of afrosh haschalah. And of course, once you mafresh challah, you make a bracha. And if you don't, then it's a serious violation of the halacha.
Dough.
What?
Dough.
The flour, it's dough. It's flour. Because the flour, that's the amount of flour which turns into, is the water without the water? It means the flour. Okay, you're getting me confused. You're very good. So let's work. Let's just put that aside for the moment with the water and the flour. But according to the count, this is all he says, 43 1/3 eggs of kemach, flour. Okay, it has to be not the water. It appears the dough, we're referring to the dough in reference to the source. Obviously, it's going to swell. Obviously, when you're going to add water, it's going to get very, very big. But the dough is measured in terms of, the Rambam says, flour. He says, "Echad shemoydedin hakemach lefi cheshbon beitzim v'shiur chiyuv chaluch u'shiur mem gimel beitzim v'choymesh beitzim." That's number one. By the way, that's number one. The second technique the Rambam says he did a mathematical analysis and he says, "V'hasheni shemoydedim, you make for yourself a kemach alidei kli mida, a special measuring cup. You buy this on Amazon. It's not round; it's square." It's a square box. The square box is, it's 10 fingers wide and 10 fingers long and 3 fingers and a ninth of a finger in height. So you have to go on Amazon and order a square box. And the square box is 10 fingers wide, 10 fingers by 10 fingers exactly, and 3 fingers and a ninth of a finger in height.
Looks like about 8 or 10 inches.
Now, what is it, by the way? Now, what is a finger? How big a finger? You want to go to a kindergarten and measure fingers from children, from kindergarten children? Or you want to measure fingers of Oig Melech HaBashan? Or are you going to tell me that it varies, depends on the person, each person, each to his own? That's not correct. That's not true. That it's a standard. Okay, fine. The Rambam says these two measures are exactly the same. No room to budge. If you will take 43 eggs and 1/5 of an egg, and you calculate its value, you will come up with a certain in modern our units in America or in whatever type of unit you want to use. You'll find the measure, whatever you'll find. And if you want, you'll take a box, a square box, that's 10 fingers by 10 fingers and 3 fingers and a ninth of a finger in height, and you fill it up to the top, smooth it out, the amount, the volume that it will contain will be exactly equal to the volume of 43 1/5 x. This is the famous Rambam. Along came the Noida b'Yehuda, the Noida be otherwise known as the Tzlach, and he did this calculation. And he discovered that when you do the calculation with the fingers, the 10 fingers, it's approximately double the volume of 43 1/5 eggs. So we got a big problem here. If you take your fingers and you make a box, 10 fingers by 10 fingers, by a height of 3 fingers and a ninth of a finger, and you fill it up with flour, that volume of flour is approximately 5 pounds. It's approximately 5 pounds of flour. Okay, let's not talk about 5 pounds of flour. They have a cup. I don't know. There are a lot of different ways. The terminology that's used today in by the Poskim, they talk in terms of pounds. But obviously, everything is going to be. You can cross over to all different types of units of measure. It's about 5 pounds. If you go to the store and you buy eggs, it comes out to, the Noida b'Yehuda comes out to about half of that. It comes out to about 2.5 pounds. So the Noida b'Yehuda was perplexed. How can the Rambam say that this is an Asiris So'efa, and he makes these very complicated calculations, and after everything is said and done, the bottom line is he gives us two methods, and the two methods, there is a discrepancy by 50%. I mean, what's going on over here? So the Noah de Yehuda said a shocking chiddush which shook up the world, and they're still fighting about this ad hayom hazeh. And he said, guess what? Nishtana hateva. Today's eggs are half the size of the eggs that existed in the time of Chazal. Mm-hmm. Your kosher eggs today are half the size, they've shrunk. And therefore, if the real measure that we have to use
how
is the larger.
You know how the eggs
good question. Excellent question. You've hit what everyone, all the Gedolei Yisrael, probably the critic of the Noida b'Yehuda was Rabbi Chaim Noe. Rabbi Chaim Noe.
Chaim Noe wasn't around then.
I know he wasn't around. Sure. Today, Rav Chaim Noy, he wasn't, he died not so long, Rav Chaim Noy. He died, whatever, 150 years ago. Rav Chaim Noy, Rav Chaim Noy traced, he did the research. What I meant is that he did the research. The research to show that the minig of Klal Yisrael was to follow the smaller, the eggs, the smaller share of eggs, our eggs. He did the research. He thoroughly, thoroughly researched this, and he was very powerful, insisted in three different eras of his tkufas of his life. He put out three svarim with intensity to prove through enormous research that the minig of Yisrael was always to follow, use the eggs, 43 eggs, what we have today. And there's no such thing that eggs ever changed in size. Of course, he died not that long ago. The Tzlach lived very, very, very long time ago. The Tzlach, time of the Shulchan Aruch, time of the Mechaber. His life overlapped, I think. No, did it overlap 100 years before? Whatever it was, but he...
Well, the Yehuda is in the late 16, early 17.
Before the Shulchan Aruch, right?
No,
after 100 years out, about less, like 50 years after.
Chaim Noah was passed away about
19. Right. Chaim Noah was very recent, 50 years ago, but Chaim Noah did the research. He did research, he had three svarim where he researched to show the Minig Yerushalayim going all the way back and from time immemorial was always to follow the small eggs that we have today, the no such thing that the eggs changed in size. So now this... What?
The
Yehuda
died in
1793. 1793 he died. Okay. Whatever. Let's leave it with this. Okay. The dates. I don't know the Gra. Correct. Now the Gra. Okay. Let's go one step at a time. So this is the Chiddush of the Noida B'Yehuda. Now the Noida B'Yehuda, there is an enormous controversy if the Noida B'Yehuda changed his mind. Supposedly, the Chasam Sofer accepted as a given that the Noida B'Yehuda is correct. The Chasam Sofer carries enormous weight. The Chasam Sofer is not a lightweight. The Chasam Sofer was the undisputed God of Hadar, and the Chasam Sofer says that his calculation is correct. Now, the problem is because right now, on the other hand, we have one of the Talmidim of the Noida B'Yehuda was known as the Teshuvah Me'ahava. Okay, I'm not familiar with all the details of who these people were when they lived, but one of his students, the Teshuvah Me'ahava, he could not accept this Chiddush of his Rebbe, the Noida B'Yehuda. And he said to the Rebbe, basically, there's a very big problem over here. Rebbe, number one, the Noida B'Yehuda was known to be a giant. He was Oig Melech HaBashan. He had very, very big fingers. He was a very large person. He was a very, very big person.
The descendant of the
Maharal. And the assumption was, he said to him, this is the record, they have a record, that this Talmud said, Rebbe, his student, he writes, the Teshuvah Me'ahava, I'll read you the words. Ulani astaiti, mori v'rabi hagoin, nishmosei eden, referring to his Rebbe, Choshav lefi agudul shaloi. V'hu haya oruch. This is his own student writing. V'hu haya oruch b'doroi mishichmoi umala gavoa. He was a giant. He was 7 feet. I don't know, he was a giant.
But in those days, what was a giant? Could be 5'8".
The agudloi haya kaful, he writes here, his student writes. He writes, as a matter of fact, the agudloi, his thumb, was kaful mishal adam benoni, was double the size of an average person. Kinoida lechol mishehoye zoiche lahakiroi, to those who knew him, who saw him, who studied by him, will tell you that he was a giant. Ulchein, he writes over in the brackets from the editor, that's why it comes out that when he made the calculation, it didn't work because he used giant sized thumbs. And 10 fingers by 10 fingers of his size, Oig Melech HaBashan, of course, can be double the size of the average egg. Now, he writes over here, these are his words. This is the Teshuvah Me'ahava, who is a student of the Noida B'Yehuda. This was very shocking, very controversial. Uchidvarim elu amarti lemoiri v'rabi nishmosei eden. I said to my Rebbe, what are you talking about? Double? Excuse me, you're double the size. You're making calculations. It's not a fair experiment. V'hoya menanea B'roishoy v'sochak. He bowed his head, he shook his head, and he laughed. Ad kan l'shoynei. What does that mean? So the Talmud, the Tshuva Me'ava, understood that his silence, his laughter, is acknowledgement that it's true that it's what he said is a mistake. On the other hand, many other Gedolei Yisrael, including the Chasam Sofer, and in our generation, not our, but in the previous generation, the Chazon Ish, and it has here other people which are the Chazon Ish, who else? We have to get to the Gro in a moment, but the Chazon Ish strongly disagreed. He never had Charata. And the Chazon Ish writes very strongly, you don't think the Noida Yehuda, the undisputed Gadol Hadar, didn't know that he has giant-sized hands and his fingers are larger than the average-sized fingers? You don't think he knows what we know? He certainly knows what we know, and he certainly, and when he made these calculations, he didn't use his fingers, he used an average size agudal. He knew Kolot HaRekula. You don't think he wasn't street smart to know when you do this experimentation, you don't go use giant-sized fingers? He knew good and well what he was doing. He's not a middle-sized person. And the Shuv Me'av, his student, told him this, and he laughed, he smiled. He was humoring his students. He didn't want to fight with him. He didn't want to get involved in the country, get a foul inside. The Ein Roy Lahaviyam Bebeis HaMedrash, and these words of the Tshuv Me'ava do not belong in the Beis Medrash. Arois, take this out of the Beis Medrash. If the Noda Yehuda states, clear as day, in his Tshuvas, that it is a given that this is what it is, the eggs, there's a discrepancy between the measurement of the Ram. The Ram gives two mahalchim to measure. And there's a discrepancy. There's something that does not add up. It has to be the eggs have diminished in size. The Chened of Yehuda lo yoda shetzach lekevoy v'habeinoni al korchach. The afal gav dohoya bal koima agudel shalo hoya beinoni. Or, he goes on to say, umino yoda deloy moda rabba v'agudel shal zula someone else ad kan l'shoyne. So the Chazon Ish was very, very strong in the Chazon Ish from our generation. And the Chasam Sofer accepted this lahalacha, that the Noida Yehuda, he was the Gadol Hadar. The Chasam Sofer, who came after, accepted it. The Chazon Ish had this tradition to accept it. V'zehu. And that means we want to make the calculation of how much you need. We go with the measurement of the fingers. And the measure of the fingers will result in approximately, today, according to the calculations they make today, based upon the average, it comes out to approximately 5 pounds of flour. I'm not going to go into the details. You know, everyone's going to be a little bit off here and there. Approximately 5, if a person wants to be mafresh shchala and make a bracha, have no seikas, he didn't do anything wrong, 5 pounds of flour.
If it's less, they don't have to make a
bracha. Oh, so if it's less, so then what's going to be is you're going to be mafresh shchala, but you're not going to make a bracha, because since if you're going to accept the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer and the Noda Yehuda as a matter of fact, you will only make a bracha when you mafresh shchala if you're starting off with 5 pounds of flour. If you have less, let's say you have 2.5 pounds of flour, between 2.5 and 5, then according to the Tshuva Me'ava and according to the Mahari Asad, the Mahari Asad was another person, I don't know if he was a student, but he has a tradition that the Noida Yehuda retracted. He states, as a matter of fact, he writes that he retracted from this Chiddush, that the eggs did not change in size, and that would mean you have to make a bracha on Afrosh Aschala if it's approximately 2.5 pounds, approximately.
And
what did the Aschala go to? Okay, that will get later on. That's another, that's the whole debate. We'll first about the bracha. So 2.5 pounds. So what do people do? So therefore, what do you do? So if you're going to follow the Chazon Ish, the Chasam Sofer, based on those who did not retract, you're not going to make a bracha unless you have 5 pounds. If you have 2.5 pounds, You're going to do it. You're going to be mafresh challah, not just in case that we do not accept the Noda B'Yuda, but you're not going to make a bracha. However, the strongest, the way it's presented here, the stipler also says, I'll read you one more time. The Chazon Nish writes, Kova halacha kimis morois, with nails. He's very tough, the Chazon Nish. He doesn't budge from his psak, the Noidin is correct. She'ein lozuz mishitas hanoidim Yehuda v'chosef shekinogu kol b'nei ha'goyla. This was the way everyone accepted it, that the Noidin is correct, that the eggs have got diminished in size. And therefore, if you want to go use the egg measure, you have to double. It has to be double. And the chain hagoin Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, the stipler, also caused about double the sifra shiurim shal Torah shekibul migisa hagoin nachazonish es harasa bekoidesh sheyesh lenu kedasa b'Yehuda, and don't change. Okay, now the one that really led the pack not to accept this in our generation was Hagoin Rav Chaim Noeh. Hagoin Rav Chaim Noeh very forcefully and very, very strongly in all of his svarim. Rav Chaim Noeh? Rav Chaim Noeh's? He was one of the priests in the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael.
How do you spell it?
Noeh, and in English? Rav Chaim,
most people never heard of.
No, all of our shiurim are based on Rav Chaim Noeh.
He's the one who was against the
Chazon Ish. Everyone, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Eliashiv. You heard of Rav Eliashiv? You heard of Rav Eliashiv? Rav Eliashiv says when you discuss what's a revius for Yom Kippur and a kazayas, Rav Eliashiv. I have over here. He writes, the bottom line is, we accept lahalacha the shiurim of Rav Chaim Noeh. No more discussion. Don't tell me 2.9, 3.4. Rav Chaim Noeh says a shear of a revius is 3 ounces. Finished. I don't want to hear any more confusion. Is it 3.4? Is it 5.3? Is it 2.3? Rav Chaim Noeh has been accepted. And Eretz Yisrael says his shiurim have been accepted as the gold standard. You want to be machna the Chazon Nish and have giant-sized cups, giant-sized kezesim, good for you. But the gold standard in what is the shiur, if you want to write a sefer and instruct people what are the shiurim, this is Rav Eliashiv. You can't get better than this. This is the bottom line.
To understand that what he did is he went around to all the silversmiths, the Sfaradi Temani silversmiths, who had a oral tradition the size of a...
He did an FBI investigation. And he devoted an enormous amount of effort to this issue, and his measurements have been accepted la halacha by the whole Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Eliashiv gives a stamp of approval, which you're not going to be able to get better than that. And the bottom line is, Rav Chaim Noeh was very, very critical of accepting the chiddush of the Noda B'Yehuda, that the eggs have doubled. It was never the tradition. It was always the tradition in Klal Yisrael to use the small hour eggs, which basically would come out, the result would come out, the shear to the nafash challah with the bracha would be 2.5 pounds of flour is enough to make a bracha. Now, this also plays out, as you all know, on Pesach. On Pesach, when you're dealing with matzah and the kezayis, and the kezesim were also based upon eggs. They're also, without going into all the details, it also plays out when it comes to matzah and maror. And there is no pesach that does not touch upon the tzlach, including the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura talks about the tzlach at length and discusses, and what comes out more or less is when it comes to a din d'oraisa, we try when possible to be machmir, to have the larger measure. If you can, you don't have to. When it comes to a din derabanan, most poskim say don't even try. It's not necessary to be machmir, to have a double size. You want to be machmir, very nice. But it's not something that we find people being machmir when it comes to a din derabanan. Now, when it comes to challah, it's not about not about being machem, it's about a brocha. Everyone, see, when it comes to matzah, everyone's going to make a brocha on the matzah. Sure, you make a brocha on the bread, you have to make a brocha on motzi lechem and arts. You make a brocha if you eat even if you eat the smallest amount of bread. Okay, you make a brocha no matter what. When you eat matzah, you make a brocha even if you can eat, less than the shiur of matzah. You also, I believe, you make a brocha. Person cannot eat the full shiur of matzah. Do you make a brocha? Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvayso v'tzvanu al achilas matzah. And you cannot eat the full shiur of matzah. I think most places can say you make a brocha. Okay, that has to be checked that is correct. Because even though you're not going to eat the full shiur of matzah, but you ate pachas mikashir is still a mitzvah. It's not a bracha levatol to make a bracha while achilas matzah if you eat less than the shiur. But by challah, it's not a matter of the bracha. You only make a bracha if you're doing the mitzvah. See, challah is this issue of following the shiur by challah takes on an entirely different dynamic than when it comes to all of the other times you hear people talking about the double eggs. Basically, every time you deal with the egg measure, oh, do you make did you eat enough to be chayv in benching? Did you eat enough bread? Did you eat enough bread, matzah, to be yoytzei the mitzvah of matzah? Did you eat enough to be yoytzei the mitzvah of moror? Did you eat enough? Well, even if you only ate, when it comes to eating, so the question will just be, did you eat enough? Should you eat another piece of matzah? Should you eat a little bit more maror? So that's a dilemma. How much do you have to eat? A little bit more, a little bit less? Is there any other issue? What about, I made a bracha. Well, making a bracha of hamotzi lechem and aretz, there's nothing to talk about. You make a bracha, eat a mashahu. And even making the bracha of asher kiddushan b'mitzvayis v'tun alachilas matzah or alachilas maror, the simple understanding is you can make a bracha even if you can eat less than the shear. Just like you make a bracha because it's a matter of eating, so you didn't have the full shear. But even eating a small amount, pachos mikashir is also a mitzvah. It's not you'd have not even the full shear, but it's a maisa achila, and a small little amount of achila also you can make a bracha. But when it comes to challah, you're not eating anything. You're not eating anything when you challah. There's no mice of eating challah. You're taking a small amount of dough out of a larger chunk of dough and you're putting it aside as challah for the kohen. There is no act of eating. So the question is, did I do a mitzvah? Did I not do a mitzvah? So you'll say, so what's the difference? Big difference. Can you make a bracha? If you're eating something, you'll tell me, well, according to my opinion, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas matzah because you did not eat the requisite shiur. Okay, did I make a bracha levatala? No, you did not. Why? I didn't eat the shiur. Well, even though you didn't eat the shiur, you ate a small amount, and eating a small amount gives you have a permission to make a bracha. It is matzah. You did a ma'is achila. Asher kiddushan b'mitzvahis v'na l'chilas matzah, ayet sa matzah. So you didn't make a bracha levatala. Were you yoytzei the mitzvah? No, because I hold you need to eat more matzah. But it's not a bracha levatala. That's the dynamics of eating. You're not making a bracha levatala. The question is, how much do you have to eat? So in our minds, this whole issue becomes moot. Leave me alone. I didn't make a bracha levatala. Do I have to eat a little bit more, a little bit less? We forget about the whole thing. But when it comes to Hafrashas Challah, it's unique. Because you're not eating anything. You're going to burn it, in fact. You're going to burn it or throw it in the garbage, dispose of it in different ways, techniques. When it comes to Hafrashas Challah, you're doing an action. You're doing a maisa. I'm taking a chunk of dough. You have a very big dilemma. Should I make a bracha or not? Now you have to know the dough that you have in front of you. Is this called reishis arisay seichem? That's the dilemma. Now it gets very touchy and it gets very controversial. What exactly?
Which way is actually the chumrah?
What?
Which direction is the chumra, eating less or more? That's the question.
Well, on Yom Kippurim, the chumra would be, it all depends on are you doing an avera or are you doing a mitzvah?
Yeah, I'm just saying, so which is the chumra?
Well, on Pesach, the chumra would be to eat more, to eat double the amount. But and if it comes to Yom Kippurim, where a person has required to eat the doctor's orders, a person must eat, so you want to be machmir and eat less every 9 minutes. Now, when it comes to hafrashas challah, you're not eating anything. So, all right, so I'll be machmir, I'll be mafrash challah. What's the big deal? You're right, there is no big deal, but the question is, should you make a bracha? So,
is it making the bracha the chumra or the kula? That's the question.
To make a bracha levatola is a very severe thing. You can't just make a bracha whenever you want. You only can make a bracha when you're obligated to make the bracha. According to the Noida B'Yehuda, you have no obligation. If you don't have in front of you 5 pounds of flour and then add the water and knead it, you cannot make a bracha. If you make a bracha, you over on the Aseres Adibros. That Tzlach is standing right here on top of this woman. She has in front of her 3 pounds of flour. She added water and she kneaded the dough. And now she has her siddur and she's going to say Tehillim and she's going to give tzedakah. And she has a whole list of people that need Yeshua's Shaduchim. She's all ready to go. She wants to make the bracha. We're being broadcast live on television. Challah across America. Everyone has to take their turn and make that bracha. I only have 3 pounds of flour here. The Noi de Yehuda, the Chazonish, the Stipler, and the Chassam Sofer have come knocked on her door and said to her, we've been watching the broadcast live in Shemaim on Torah anytime, and we see that your turn is coming to make the bracha in front of all the women in your challah, and we know from inside sources, the NSA of Shemaim, the Ben Shalmael, has told us that you only have 3 pounds of flour that we use to make the dough, and you're about to make a bracha. We, all four of us, are here to tell you, if you make that bracha, you'll be in violation of the third of the Aseres
Adibros. The situation, you either have to have less than 2.5 or more than 5. You don't do it in
exactly, but here you have a woman who has 3 pounds of flour, and she wants to make a bracha. So, according to the Chazon Nish, the Noi de Yehuda, or he says the Noi de Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer, the Stipler, the Chazon Nish, they're all coming and knocking on her door and telling her, don't you dare make that bracha. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
So can't you separate and make them to 1.5 and 1.5? Then she would have to do it? Two separate times.
That's a separate, yes, good question. We'll talk about it a little. I'm talking about that. That's another big dilemma, which unfortunately I'm not going to get to. That's another big dilemma. Let's discuss a regular case. Just you want to make the bracha. So according to, you're not allowed to make the bracha. But according to Rav Chaim Noeh, he proves that historically, he's traced this down to all the way back as far as we go. It has been the custom to the measurement that's been used is equivalent to what the smaller eggs, and 2.5 pounds is more than enough to make a bracha. So what do you do? What's the bottom line? It appears there is no bottom line. It appears everyone does whatever they want to do. Everyone has a different tradition.
I have to ask my wife, they have in the Lubavitch cookbooks, it tells you how much you need for...
there are different opinions.
You have to make a bracha. I'll ask you what it says.
There are different opinions, and people. There are different traditions. There are different traditions of what people do. Some people are have the tradition from the, they accept this, and other people are much more, they do make a bracha even when you have 2.5 pounds. If you go on the websites, I didn't have really a chance. I'm just browsing very quickly before the share. They have all the they're very good. These websites are phenomenal. Chabad, and Chabad is unbelievable. Chabad's website is just a powerhouse of information of halacha. It's unbelievable, not to be believed what they did Chabad. The OU is very good. The OK is fantastic. OK has an exceptionally good website of halacha, practical matters. So everyone has a different take. Everyone has a different shita. What to do. Some people have absolutely no problem. If you have approximately 3 pounds, you make a bracha. If Chaim Nohe is good enough, some will tell you there's no problem whatsoever. Other people know they're not going to be happy, comfortable making a bracha unless they have 5 pounds, which is approximately, I'm not telling you all the exact numbers, but I'm talking about the general numbers are 2.5 pounds and 5 pounds. There are some variations in between that, but this is the issue. And the reason why we're going over this issue over here is because this issue, when it comes to Hafrashas Challah, is unique. It becomes very, very practical. Unlike matzah, when you're dealing with Pesach, it's one night a year. And I mean, you're eating shiurim. And there, the question is how much are you going to eat? And many people don't really pay much attention to how much they're eating. Anyway, they eat too much. Most people have a problem, they eat too much. Okay? They eat way too much. And but when it comes to challah, a person at home, there are many women, not all, but many women, they like to bake challah. It means a lot to them. They have a tradition from their family. They bake challah every Shabbos, and they're living, they have an empty nest. All their children are married, and they're not making large amounts of challah. They don't want to make a small amount of challah, and they don't want to go put away in the freezer for a long time, whatever they want, even that's all shot, put away for later on. It becomes a big question when you have a small amount of flour. It seems like it's a sweet spot between 2.5 and 5. 5 is too much for most people. And less than 2.5 is too little. And somewhere in between 2.5 and 5 is a sweet spot, and you get involved in the shaila. Some people will tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. I always make a bracha. And some people will tell you, they never make a bracha. They're too confused, so they don't make a bracha.
It applies only to challah? What about other things, bread or rolls or bacon?
Any baked product.
Cakes?
Yeah, all the cake, provided that there's water. Yeah, you have to add water into the dough. You see, there are some doughs that they don't add water. I'm not familiar with the whole baking industry.
I'll tell you, I said by us, the big problem was at the end, that when we had a kocha, they asked us if we were taking challah from the dough that we use for kishka.
The dough that you use?
Yeah, use a lot of dough. Kishka has got a lot of ingredients. And sugar, it's a huge, sugar. I mean, if you're making 1,000 pounds of kishka, no, not 1,000, 5,000 pounds of kishka, you're using a lot of dough.
Okay, so dough, it becomes a very big problem.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, one said, are you taking challah from the kishka dough? And the mashgiach went, huh?
What do you mean? They're different. The dough has to have water. A lot of these, sometimes the dough has no water. You only have fruit juices. And then you cannot be mafresh challah. And like you said, in the baking industry, it gets very complicated. I don't know. There's a lot of issues.
But it can't be after it's baked. It can't be
taken. Bidyevit, you can. That's how, when it comes to matzah. Let's discuss that right now. First, this other issue. Matzah. How do you mafresh challah from matzah? When you eat shmur matzah, the night of Pesach, when will they mafresh challah? If you go to the matzah baking factory, they're not playing games. They have 18 minutes. They blow the whistle, they start, they take out the mayim shalanu, and someone takes out the flour, and they pour it, and they mix it, and the clock is ticking quick, quick, quick. Let's get this going. And when 18 minutes, the whistle blows, the bell rings, everyone stop. It's over. Whatever was baked, is baked. Whatever was not baked, in the garbage. Excuse me, I didn't see anyone here be mafresh challah when you took flour and water, a lot of flour, okay, 18 minutes, they have a big shift, it's way more than 5 pounds, probably have 500 pounds, whatever, yeah, one shift, they have plenty of flour. I didn't see anyone make a bracha on Hafrashas Challah. What's going on over here? So the answer is you don't when you bake it, because we're afraid it'll turn into chametz, and you're going to get some rebbe to come, L'shem Yichud. He'll say the L'shem Yichud. By the time you finish the L'shem Yichud, it'll already be more than 18 minutes, and you'll have bigger problems on your hand. So that's the only exception. They make the mafresh challah after they finish baking the matzahs. The matzahs have been baked. And when you do that, there's a halacha, you have to put all the matzahs together. The mafresh min hamukaf. Min hamukaf means it has to all be together. You're not supposed to take a matzah over here outside the store. Oh, I'm picking up this matzah to bechala for all the matzahs inside. You know, it doesn't work like that. You have to be mafresh min hamukaf. So in the matzah baking factories, they have a special cage. I call it a cage.
Yeah,
a special
can cover it with a
and then they have to cover it. And all these things need to be clean, make sure they don't become chametz. You have to take all the mats after every shift. After every shift, after 80 minutes, they take all the mats that was baked and they put it into one big cage. And then they have to cover it. And then they make the bracha. And then they take out one matzah and they burn it. It's a lot of money, a matzah. They take one matzah and they that. That's called minimum. Now here's a famous story. This is a famous story narrative which happened many, many years ago. And it created a literature, a rabbinic literature. And the story was where they were baking, it was the year, I think it was 1983, could it be 1983? I don't remember all the details, who it was, the rabbanim involved, the whole story, but the story was, it was a year when Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. So, which means, when did they finish, when was the last run? It was on Friday. And Shabbos was, you know, the Batz Baking Factory is closed on Shabbos, obviously it's Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, they realized, they forgot to take challah. They did a big, big batch, massive batch, made many batches, Erev Shabbos, a very big batch, and they forgot to take challah. And all of those matzos were distributed to all the people already. And they're all waiting there on their counter, all waiting for the night, Mitzvah Shabbos, when they're going to eat the matzah.
And they were expensive matzos, too.
They were expensive matzos?
Matzah's mitzvah, supposedly.
There's no matzah mitzvah when you have Erev Shabbos.
Yeah,
okay, whatever. They were matzah. So it comes that the people were going to be about to eat tevel. Not only not going to be yoytzeh, not even yoytzeh whole shah, you're not even yoytzeh the mitzvah matzah. If you eat matzah from matzahs that you're not mafresh challah, this is a very serious violation of halacha. And there are many people, you don't even know who these people are. So what are you going to do? So the simple solution is, you know, this halacha that you're supposed to have all of the matzos together in one location, as they do in the matzah baking factories, they take all the matzos and they put it down and they put a cover on top of it, and they make a bracha that's only a lechatchila, but bidyavet. If you have some matzahs here, some matzahs there, some matzahs there, you pick up one matzah from that batch, and you say, this shall be the truma, the challah for all the matzahs, it's okay. It's not ma'akev if they're not all together. This concept of all being together is called min hamukaf. It should all be together. So just be mafrish challah on Shabbos. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's osur. It's also, you're not allowed to be mafrish challah on Shabbos. It's also. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? So I don't know, I'm not sure who the Rav was. They asked, so the Rav passed in a very controversial Pesach Halacha. This became a big topic of discussion. Whoever the Gadol was, paskind, get a child who is 12 years old and one day, and he should do the ave and give him a matzah. Every part of this Pesach Halach is very calculated, and I'll explain in a moment why. Give him a matzah. Give it to him as a gift, one matzah, and let him then take from that matzah challah, break off a piece, and declare, and make a bracha, and break off a piece, and state that he's breaking off this piece for this matzah and for all of the matzahs that was part of the same batch of dough, the same batch of dough from where this matzah came from. Now, what do you mean? First of all, now let's analyze the Pesach Halach. What is that going to accomplish? Well, you're being mafresh challah. Oh, but you're in violation. It says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be mafrish chala on Shabbos. Because it's tikkun mone. It's like you're creating something. When you want to call it a muksa, you want to call it a binyan.
Just like taking miser, right?
Right, same thing. You're not allowed. It is forbidden to do this. So the answer came from a Rambam. The Rambam says, there's something called chinuch habanim. And the shaila, are you allowed to give a child from your to eat from your Korban Pesach? What's the problem? The child is not chayiv to eat Korban Pesach. This is the halacha. This goes back from the Maril Diskin. When the Maril Diskin came in 1984, then came in 1984. The Maril Diskin. This from the Maril Diskin. So that was much before. Okay, whenever this story was, there's a chiddush from the Rambam, and this the Rambam is. The Rambam is a Tosfos, not even only a Tosfos. A question: how are you allowed to give a child meat from the Korban Pesach, but the child cannot be part of the minyan? When you register, when you shech the Korban Pesach, the only people that are allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach are the people that have registered. It's like with Corona, you can't daven in shul unless you register, right? Unless you register, you can't be part of the minyan. A lot of shuls are like that, okay? I know someone in Long Island, he came from Flatbush, he was there, he didn't register, he came to shul, and he says, no, you cannot come in here. Says, come on, let me stand in the back. You didn't register, let me speak to the supervisor. The supervisor comes out, and he says, you know, I have yard side, I really want to dive in. And he says, no, sorry, you're not registered.
Oh my God.
We're not letting you in. We're not. Have it outside in the back. Maris Ayin. We don't want anyone to see that we have, not even on the awning on the back. You know, you don't register, you cannot participate.
What does the registration accomplish?
Social distancing, pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh.
When was this?
Contact.
This was this past year, not that long ago. Okay? I'm not criticizing, I'm not saying anything. And the point of the year is you get a time. You have to look at everything about Corona as a taste of what it's gonna be like when Mashiach comes. Okay, you have to look at it in the positive. If you don't register, you cannot participate. No excuses here. That's exactly what's going to happen with the Korban Pesach. You forget to register, it's Pesach. Come on, Pesach. Listen, you know, give me a piece of the Korban Pesach, a kezayis. No. You didn't register, you don't get. Are you tohar? Did you get the vaccine? Vaccine means what? It means paradumo, hazah. Get the first shot and the second shot. Day 3, day 7. Everything that's happening over here, Hashem is getting us ready for Mashiach, yeah?
You have to own the dough to be Makrishkala?
Yes, you have to
own it. Own the dough?
You don't have to. No, I take that back. You have to have a reshus. Okay, that's the reality. There's a lot. There's a million questions. We'll just focus on this one prat. Here's the question. It's a very good question. Okay, this is right. I'm running out of time. Let's finish up. Please, everybody say, Baruch Hashem, we have people over here that want to ask questions. See, I missed this. It was gaval because we had it on the screen. There's no one to talk to. This is very delicious. Very good. And even when the phone goes off, Baruch Hashem, we're back to those days when the phone goes off in all the Shia. Baruch Hashem. It's not a joke. We're survivors here. But let's go back. Let's finish up. This is a very good question of Tosfos. Tosfos Kash is, how can you give a child to eat from the meat of the Korban Pesach, the child didn't register? And don't tell me he did, because he's not allowed to register. He cannot be included in the registration of the Korban Pesach. When you shech the Korban Pesach, you have to have who is registered for this Korban Pesach. Can a child be on that list? No. If you're not on, he cannot be included in the registration. And if you're not registered, you can't eat. So frek toisis. Eich mutter lahachil lekota mibisar Korban Pesach. Haloi ein yechoyl lemnoise lekorban Pesach. He cannot register. V'osor part two, v'osor lahachil mibisar Korban Pesach lemi shaloi nime olav. If you're not registered, you can't eat. So good kasha. Tosfos answers a shocking chiddush, which is a very good topic of discussion for a bar mitzvah boy. Shehetiroi lahachil loy davar iser. You're right, it's taka osur. It's osur to give a child mishum chinuch mitzvah. Shocking thing. Shocking statement. The mitzvah of chinuch habonim overrides a prohibition in Issur Deraisa. Overrides an Issur Deraisa. If you don't register, you're not nimneh. Registering is a requirement deraisa. Issur Deraisa. The mitzvah of chinuch to teach a child that you eat the Karban Pesach and the little Seder overrides an Issur Deraisa. Shach, right? Tosfos says this. Lahachil loy davar iser mishum chinuch mitzvah. This is what it says in Tosfos, not the Rambam, it was the Rambam. Okay, I'm all mixed up. So along came, I think it was Rav Diskin. Okay? I believe it was Rav Diskin. He said an incredible chiddush. You see that at times when you have no solution, you can be over in Isser, even in Isser Deraisa, for the purpose of chinuch. So we're going to take advantage of that. We're going to teach this child who's 12 years old in one day, we're going to teach him about the mitzvah of challah, hafrashas challah. We're going to mechanech him. Even though the chinuch that we're doing is an isser, is an aver. Because you're not... What?
So what kind of chinuch is that? You're teaching him to do the wrong thing.
So what about the Karban Pesach? You also teaching him to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You're giving him to the Karban Pesach. So what is So what you're saying over here is the outrage and the whole Yerushalayim. They were talking about this for years, for decades. This Pesach Halacha, what he passed it. You have over here a matzah baking factory comes to the Rav and he says, we have a big problem. We forgot to be mafer challah. Can we do it now? No, you're not allowed to. It says in Shulchan Aruch. So bring a child. Child, let him, we'll teach him about the mitzvah of hafrashas challah. Oh, but it's violating because today is a day when you're not allowed to do this. No, we have no choice. What's the alternative? Everyone should be nichshel in eating tevel, which may be a shiloh for yoytz achilas matzah. So we're going to do what it says in Tosfos. At times, you can teach a child, even though teaching the child is what you're doing is really an aveira. Before we discuss something, we'll just take a few other things. Why a child, is he maybe 12 years old, and not a child that's 10 years old? Because a boy who's already, because there's something called a making a neder, taking a vow. A boy who's 12 years old in one day is like an adult regarding vows. If a boy who's 12 years old in one day makes a neder, he's obligated on a biblical level to observe his neder. The mafresh truma is in the category of making a neder. It's a tremendous chiddush. That's also a chiddush. That hafrosh haschala is begeder, this is what he said, I don't know what the source for this is in the category of making a vow. I'm going to give this to the kohen. When you separate challah, what are you doing? This is an incredible chiddush to say such a thing. You separate challah, I'm separating the challah, and I pledge to give this to a kohen. It's a pledge. It's an action, including a pledge. A boy who's 9 years old is not even in the world, the category of making pledges, making vows. So we want a child who's going to be incredible lumbus, who is going to be potter from the sin of doing the hafrosha, but is in a world where he can make a pledge. When it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be mafresh challah on Shabbos, the prohibition is the action, not the pledge. The proof is, on Shabbos you go to shul and there's an appeal, or a Yom Tov, a Yisker appeal. How you want to make a pledge? A pledge you can make. That's not a prohibition. You can make a pledge on Shabbos, but you can't go and write out the check. Unless the rabbi says, the koch nefesh, write out the check right now. Write out the check. So it's an incredible lungus. We don't want a child who's 9 years old. A child who's 9 years old is not even in the realm of making a pledge. Who says his hafrosha schala is even valid?
It has to be a boy?
Oh, yeah, that's part of the rabbinic literature. Wouldn't some argue that it would have been a better psak halacha for him to enlist a girl? A girl who's 11 years old in one day, because challah, the ikr chinuch of challah is a noshim. So they have tainus on Rav Diskin, Why did you paskin to enlist a boy who's 12 years in one day? You should have enlisted a girl who's 11 years. That would have been a better psak halacha, because the ikar mitzvah hafrosh haschal and chinuch are for girls. Then some will say, but there's not necessarily in response. The whole rabbinic literature on this, what happened over there. Namish went to town. Some say, no, they defended him. No, because there's no mitzvah of chinuch on girls. Ooh, that's an explosive thing to say. To say that the mitzvah of chinuch is on boys, not on girls? Ooh, you don't want to get involved in that machlekes. That's explosive. Why did you give him a matzah? Let him just go to someone's house and take one of those matzahs and break off a piece. Why did they insist on giving him a matzah? So the answer is because a child is not shaykh and shlichus. We cannot make a child an agent to be mafresh, to do anything. But a child can do what's for himself. So we can give a child this matzah, and then he can be mafresh challah for himself. That for sure works. And then we say migu. Once he can do it for himself, which is certainly valid, migu, it schleps along for everyone else that's part of this batch. It's a ton of longness here.
So who's the owners of the mafresh? Is it on the owner, or is it on the person banking?
The owner, the person who owns it. He's the one who's responsible, anyone can really do it. So it was a very lumshup psak halacha to go enlist a child who's bedafka, 11 years old in one day. So he's shaykh in the an element of a neder, because that's a very important element of that when you mafresh challah, you're giving, it's a neder. I will give this to a kohen. When are you going to give it to him? When? Today, tomorrow? Eventually. It's a neder. Oh, a boy who's 12 years old is 100% in that category. And that's an advantage. Number two, but he should be a minor, because he's doing an Avera. Oh, how can you do an Avera? Well, Tosfos says, you can be mechanech a child, even though what you're telling him to do is an Avera. Why a boy, not a girl? Because the mitzvah of chinuch is much more solid by boys than it is by girls. It's more solid. Why did you give him a matzah? Let him just be mafresh and take a matzah? Because you're telling the child to be a shliach for everyone, for the adult who's responsible. Ein shlichus l'katan. You can't make a child a minor, an agent. So what do we do then? Give him a matzah. You can give him a matzah. It works. If you make something to a child, it becomes his property. And then he on his own will be mafresh. He'll do it for himself. Once he does it for himself, and it's part of a batch of dough, it's the same batch of dough, migu, since, because it works for himself, it'll work for all of the dough, all of the matzos that came from this dough. This is what the psak halacha was. This created a big firestorm in Eretz Yisrael, because the main issue people were they didn't feel was correct is you cannot compare the case of Tosfos of a Korban Pesach giving a child to eat to the mitzvah of Afrosh Haschala for one very simple reason. If you're not going to give the child a piece of the Korban Pesach, Lel Pesach, you'll never give it to him. There's no other opportunity to be mechanech a child eating Korban Pesach. It's Lel Pesach. It's either now or never. You have 6 hours to eat the Korban Pesach. You want to teach a child how to be mafresh challah? So after Yom Tov, you come over on a Friday afternoon, we'll sit down, we'll learn the halachas, I'll be mafresh challah. Punk now, Erev Pesach, Shachalios B'Shabbos. You have no better time. There's no better opportunity to teach a child how to be mafresh challah when you're not allowed to. There are other opportunities to teach a child how to be mafresh challah. Pesach, it's Yevshe B'inyan Acher. That's why Tosfos says you can tell a child. But here, who says you can go and you can tell a child who's 9 years old, 11 years old, to tell him to do an Avera and make a bracha to be mafresh challah? Who says you can do such a thing? But obviously, if this can help, that in this situation, there's nothing else you can do. There was no other solution to solve this problem. It was impossible to inform the people, to track them down and inform them that they had in their possession forbidden bread, And this was the only solution. Now, by the way, there is one interesting thing, but the last thing is that everyone knows when it comes to Erev Tavshilin, a Rav, the Minig Yisrael, the Rav, may I ask you to do this for your Kehillah? A Rav, my father always did this, has an obligation for his Kehillah to do an Erev Tavshilin for all those that are going to forget. Okay, the Rav, there are people that forget in the community to make an Erev Tavshilin, so the Rav makes a special, when he makes his Erev Tavshilin, he makes not just for his family, he makes it for all of his balabatim. And that involves a bit of a tircha, because I used to have to do this for my father every Erev Yom Tov. If you do it for yourself, you just pick up the matzah and the egg and you make the bracha. But when you're doing it for all of your balabatim, you have to be mezake al yidei acher, someone who's not part of your family. So you have to go out into the street, go across the street to your neighbor and say, can you please, by the way, a neighbor who's not part of your shul. I think it's not part of your shul, someone who's someone al yidei acher, and bring them into the house. Are you a member of the shul? Put them on. I know I'm late on my membership. No. I want you bedafka not to be a member.
Why can't you be a member?
Because then you're doing it for yourself. You need to be mezaka. I don't know the law. I have to think it through.
And you only can do it once, right? Oh,
so the person who only once, right? So the person who forgets can rely upon the Rav's Erev once. This is a minikadmon where the Rav makes an Erev tavshilin on behalf of all those that forget. There's another minikadmon we don't hear about, and that is the Rav is mafresh chala for all the people who forget. And this is only done, it seems it's not done every Erev Shabbos. Why? Because it's very rare. It's extremely rare for a person to forget to be mafresh chala. So we don't do that. You don't go be mafresh chala. Anyway, it's shlemen hamukov, it's not ideal. You know, but Erev Pesach, being that Erev Pesach, you mafresh chala after you bake matzos, then it becomes a milso de shchicha where people forget to be mafresh chala. It's very rare for a person today to forget to be mafresh chala. People who make bread, they know what to do. Especially when do you do the hafreshas chala? When you make the dough. So when is it going to happen you're going to forget? When you do something unusual. When do you do something unusual? When you bake matzahs. When you bake matzahs, so first you make the matzahs, and afterwards, when you're done, then you mafresh the challah. Because you can't do it before.
So why
because,
didn't our disc do that?
So it seems that in the Eretz Yisrael, at that point, they didn't do it. This minig was forgotten. This minig was not observed. It's very, very fascinating. This is cited, he cites a whole chapter on this, about this minig kadmon where the Rav would be mafresh challah on behalf of those who forget. If that would have been the case, then there would have been a problem for Rav Diskin in the case of the matzahs. But obviously, Rav Diskin held it in Yerushalayim, no one was doing this. There was no one out there.
Because also, you have to make your own. You have to make matzahs.
You have to also do it at the. You have to make. You have to do it at the very end of the day. You have to do it at the very, very end of the day after all the matzahs are finished. You can't go do it in advance. It has to be done after everything already has been done already. Okay, so that's an interesting, that's the Rav's responsibility. So you pay the Rav for. That's the Rav's responsibility.
He can't do it in his house. He's got to do it in the matzah.
Okay, so we discussed basically two things today. We discussed the shigurim. Is it 2.5 pounds or is it 5 pounds? It takes on a life of its own when it comes to chal. It's not like matzah and Pesach. This is a very, 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 very relevant. And then the second topic over here is this very unique case of when they forgot to do it with a child. All the lumness, the controversy that they're still talking about. Have
is
a wonderful
a
day, Rabbi Sai. What?
Is there a minimum amount?
Challah? We just said 200 pounds.
No, let's say you make a pound of dough.
No.
You don't have to do anything?
Nothing, zero.
So it's only by two.
It has pounds. To be at least, it has to be ratios, it has to be an Issa. An Issa is at least 2.5 pounds of flour. Yeah. Flour. You start.
Is a lot of flour.
It is, that's right. And
no mafresh underneath it?
Nothing. Under 2.5 pounds, under 2.5 pounds, you do nothing. You can do whatever you want.
And what was the time frame? Suppose you split up into.
Oh, so you're saying very
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful good. Day. You're saying very good. What is the time? There are a lot more controversies about challah. Let's say you're not planning. Let's say you're giving away part of the bread.
You're not.
Freezing it. There's a Yerushalmi. Maybe we'll do tomorrow more. The Yerushalmi seems to indicate that if you are not planning on eating all of the bread, then you cannot make a bracha. Many people, they bake, let's say they bake 5 pounds of flour and they give it away. They give it away to their children. They give it to their neighbor. They don't eat it all in their own home. Then there's a big halachic dilemma if you make a bracha. Or let's say you make the dough and you put away half the dough for next week in the freezer. For the freezer. Now half an hour later is okay. But let's say you make the dough and you mafish challah and then you slice the dough and you put the dough in the freezer for next week. So that's also a very big question. If you're planning to put away the dough, if you're going to freeze the dough for next week, are you allowed to make a bracha? There are two big dilemmas in halacha. Number one, if you're not planning to eat all the bread, you're planning to give it away. I'm going to give away some of the bread to a different person, to a different family. And if you're going to eat it yourself, but you're taking the dough and you're freezing the dough, these are two very common scenarios. Then many people hold you don't make a bracha.
Tanbeis HaMikdash, they couldn't get it to the Kohen necessarily. They spoiled it, the time was transported.
Why was it spoiled? What do you mean spoiled?
They may be baking it a couple miles from the Beis HaMikdash.
No, you give next door. You don't give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Challah and Truma you give to your local Kohen. The guy in Shul, the guy who gets the Aliyah, the guy who gets Kohen. Yamoid Shmer Bel HaKohen. Oh,
here's
some dough.
Burn it? There's no Kohen in the neighborhood?
They have to burn it.
Well, yeah.
Then you have to destroy it.
Okay.
In other words, if it's Tahor, you're not allowed to destroy it. If it's Tahor, you destroy it. All right, there's a lot more on this, whatever, for now.
What I like in that sefer I told you from Simcha Bunim sefer, his grandson.
Yeah.
Who was Kolomo Masharim, the so-called Shemi Dos.
Yeah.
What does it mean, Midos? What does it mean? What's the Poshim Shah? So he says, Midos means Moshe Rabbeinu.